Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an examination of whether the choice of Jack Lew as Secretary of Treasury means that financial reform will not be a priority in Obama's second term. Michael Greenberger, the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, joins us to discuss whether budget reform will supersede financial reform in the next 4 years. Then we will speak with Edward Kleinbart, who was Chief of Staff of the U.S. Congress's Joint Committee on Taxation, to explore an alternative scenario the President might follow to avoid the threatened shutdown of the U.S. government by congressional Republicans over the debt ceiling. We will discuss Ed Kleinbart's plan to issue federal scrip if the Treasury is unable to issue new debt, which is outlined in his article in the New York Times, The Debt Ceiling's Escape Hatch. Then finally, with the Church of Scientology marketing its brand of so-called religion in a television ad campaign, we will speak with John Sweeney, a veteran BBC war correspondent and award-winning investigative journalist, about his latest book, The Church of Fear, Inside the Weird World of Scientology, that chronicles his contentious experiences with the Church of Scientology, filming the 2007 BBC Panorama special, Scientology and Me, and his 2010 follow-up, The Secrets of Scientology. And joining us now is Michael Greenberg, who's a former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Currently, he's the director of the Center of Health and Homeland Security at the University of Maryland, where he also teaches constitutional law and a seminar on futures, options, and derivatives at the University of Maryland School of Law. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Greenberger.
Good to talk to you, Ian.
And you're quoted as saying that Jack Lew is the best we can hope for, very smart, very fair-minded, but he isn't an expert in markets. Given his remarks in a few years back in a Senate hearing that he didn't think that financial deregulation led to the financial crisis, where he said, I don't believe that deregulation was the proximate cause. I would defer to others who are more expert about the industry to try and parse it better than that. That's a pretty troubling analysis of the worst economic crisis to hit America since the Great Depression.
Yes, it was very disturbing. He delivered those remarks and testimony before the Senate, and it was very disturbing at the time. And the White House, by the end of the day, tried to soften it by saying that wasn't markets were not his expertise. First of all, there are two issues here. One is whether this evidences the fact that there's not going to be a lot of attention paid to market reform, and I think it clearly does evidence that fact. But the more important issue is the Secretary of the Treasury, by virtue of Dodd-Frank, is the person who's principally in charge in his capacity as chairman of the Financial Stability Oversight Council, of preventing any kind of financial calamity by examining big institutions that may be unstable and taking them apart before they cause problems. And then secondly, if a financial crisis arises, the Secretary of the Treasury is in charge of responding to it to make sure we don't go falling into another Great Depression. And that's my foremost concern here. I mean, one thing is, as we sit, Wall Street, every time there's not a crisis to focus the American attention, Wall Street runs away with the regulatory system. In the last few weeks, there have been some moves made by regulators that have been very favorable to Wall Street, very harmful to the American investor and American taxpayer. Jack Lew will not come in to try and correct that problem. He's very smart, he's very able, has an excellent reputation, and by the way, he's socially progressive, but he's not familiar with markets. And I think the president is very focused on the debt ceiling crisis, but I'll tell you, we could default on our sovereign debt, which would be terrible, but if we have another financial crisis akin to what happened in 2008, there simply isn't $12 trillion available to remedy it as we did then. And to have somebody who isn't fully expert in markets leading the rescue is, to me, quite troubling.
Again, I'm speaking with Michael Greenberger, the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Future Trading Commission. Currently, he's the director of the Center for Health and Homeland Security at the University of Maryland, where he also teaches constitutional law and a seminar on futures options and derivatives at the University of Maryland School of Law. But one of the things that I find troubling about the resume of Jacob Jack Lew is this revolving door between government and Wall Street and back to government. It's also the same path that Rahm Emanuel took and others. And it feels as if there's something sort of rigged about it. You go from government service, you do a couple of years on Wall Street, and you make a ton of money, even though you probably don't know what you're doing. But the feeling I get is that these big banks give these people a very short tenure and a big golden parachute. And then they go back into government. And by the way, it's what's really troubling is that Jack Lew was on Wall Street at Citibank or Citicorp at the very time that all of this toxic derivatives and fraudulent mortgage packages and were being put together. How do you feel about that?
It is troubling, and what's even more troubling to add to the list of troubles is that there were an array of former Clinton officials who went to Citibank, Citicorp, under the tutelage of Bob Rubin, who that's where he was chairman of the executive committee, what have you. And as you know, Rubin, when he was Clinton Secretary of the Treasury, was very hostile to regulation. I have been comforted by my discussions with people who know Lew and believe that he will not be tainted by that experience. And that's why the quote you read, where I think it's the best we could hope for, is I think he will be a fair-minded, unbiased decision maker. That's his reputation. He's on social issues, very progressive. But he's clearly not familiar with markets, and we need someone who is going to stand up to Wall Street, and I fear that he's just not going to have that in him, not because he was at Citigroup, but because he doesn't understand these issues. What I'm comforted by is that I think he will listen to common sense and those in the administration who are market reformers, who caused the passage of Dodd-Frank, but he really is going to have to answer the question, does he have the wherewithal to be in charge of the 10 major bank regulators in both detecting systemic risk or answering a challenge that the kind we faced in 2008, which was systemic risk. The point here is that most objective economists, market observers, believe that there is a high probability that the episode of 2008 will repeat itself. And if that were to happen, we don't have $12 trillion to throw at the issue this time around. And the question is, will Jack Lew be prepared to either detect the problem or respond to the problem? And I think that's what he's got to answer in his confirmation hearings.
But I guess, though, the bottom line is that as Secretary of Treasury, he's also the nation's top financial regulator. And you don't feel that that's going to be his priority because he's so deeply immersed in these budget battles.
What I think is it's certainly not going to be a priority of his. I feel confident of that. But the question I have is, what is he going to do if week number two in office there is a repeat of a Lehman Brothers situation where another financial institution has a rogue trader loses $6 billion in one fell swoop, and the bank is threatened with defaults, and we're right back where we are again. He's going to be the chief guy responsible for dealing with that. And he's not going to have, as we had in 2008, the willingness of the American people to bail out these banks to the tune of $12 trillion. So whatever his priorities are, he may have this priority forced on him. And the question is, does he have the ability to respond? I clearly, because the defense of this statement that he made, that deregulation was not the proximate cause of the 2008 meltdown, the defense of that statement was he doesn't know markets. Well, he's got to be able to say, which no one is focused on right now, but I'm sure will be by the nomination, confirmation process, rather, what are you prepared, what are you skilled at in terms of facing what many people think there's a high probability of facing, is a financial event that, if unmet, could lead to the second Great Depression.
So, again, Michael Greenberger, the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Future Trading Commission, it's hard to get your head around the idea that after all that we've gone through since 2008, and we still have the legacy of 2008, which is the deficit that all the deficit hawks are so worried about, that's led to the Tea Party tantrum over the debt ceiling that brought about the sequester, that brought about the fiscal cliff, and now we're going to have another round of a possible government shutdown over the debt ceiling. That's the crunch is coming in a matter of a month or so. So we all know what's happened recently, but you're telling us that at any moment, one of these big banks could make a terribly bad bet and be poised to go under, and then turn to the Treasury and say, write us a blank check, and the cupboard is bare. The very fact that you can say that with such certainty makes me so alarmed. I'm thinking, what have we learned? What has happened? Has anything been put in place to stop this? We've already had one near-death experience. In other words, the patient is still in danger?
The problem we have is that memories are short, and it's just not memories from 2008, but in 2012, we had the experience of J.P. Morgan losing $6.2 billion based on one trader's negligence. Now, J.P. Morgan had enough capital at stake that didn't present systemic risk. But if a weaker institution had one trader who did that, and we've had experiences of that sort, that could bring down an institution who would then default on its obligations and lead to the cascading crisis. So it's not just what happened in 2008. We've had a near-death experience in 2012 with J.P. Morgan. But after that was May of 2012. For the next two or three months, everybody got worried about regulation and reform. But then it disappears, and the public's attention and the public officials' attention, distracted by financial campaign contributions, goes away. And right now we're in a period when no one's worried about a big bank failing. And I think it's imperative, and I have some degree of confidence that it will come up in his confirmation, that people will say, are you prepared to deal with this? Again, it's not just responding to a crisis, but Dodd-Frank gives the Secretary of the Treasury the responsibility for detecting a crisis before it happens and dealing with it. And I think the question is this candidate, nominee, able to do that? I frankly think the thing that might comfort me is him saying, well, okay, I don't have the expertise, but I will have at my side the following people who do have expertise. What also troubles me is some of those people, for example, Gary Gensler, who's the present chair of the CFTC, and many of us believe is the most effective Obama administration official in dealing with financial crises. If he were to say, well, I'll rely on Gary Gensler and people like that, that would be reassuring. But right now, people are worried about defaulting on the sovereign debt, which no two ways about it, if it happened, it would be a calamity. But it would not be the calamity that another Lehman Brothers presents, because a Great Depression, without ammunition to deal with it, is going to boost unemployment, lower the stock market, and create a worldwide event. And I think the American taxpayer, American investor, needs to be reassured that this candidate will be able to deal with that issue.
But as the top cop on the beat that's supposed to be, you know, to be the first to know whether the markets are overextended and somebody is making reckless bets. And I'm not sure that there's a mechanism of transparency to know that. But we certainly know that the other top cop at Justice, the head of the Justice Department, hasn't really gone after anybody. So there's been no punishment for 2008. And if Lew is not aware of what's happening and he's going to have to rely on somebody else, and you mentioned Gary Gensler, who in fact comes from Goldman Sachs.
And has been a very effective market reformer. He's been, as far as I'm concerned, the best friend of the American taxpayer that has been presented by the Obama administration.
And what about Elizabeth Warren? Is there any early warning system? That's what I'm asking you.
There is the ability for an early warning system, but as you say, it's not easy. I think there is enough transparency out there that if you have somebody who understands and can detect the signals properly, would have the ammunition to head off a crisis before it starts. The question is, with all of his strengths, and he has tremendous strengths, will Jack Lew be able to do that? When I said he's the best we can expect, I mean, there were discussions about the CEO of BlackRock being the Secretary of the Treasury, or other people who are on Wall Street, who I think would not have the American taxpayers' interest at stake. I think we're lucky because Lew is, I believe, not going to be biased. The question is he going to be helpful in the sense of being able to detect or respond to a market crisis? I don't say we're going to have a market crisis. What I say, and many others say, is the probabilities are very high. We may be lucky, but we should be prepared and have people who are prepared to deal with such a thing happening. And so many people, responsible academics, market observers, senators, are very worried about a repeat of the Lehman Brothers situation in 2008.
Well, just in closing, Michael Greenberger, the president, there's a lead article in Thursday's Los Angeles Times front page story, Obama hasn't reined in big money. Relaxed inauguration rules reflect how he has largely given up the fight for what was once a high priority. And there's a sense that Obama has dropped his efforts to curb the role of money in politics. And he's obviously made an issue out of it. So are we looking at some overall bad signals here?
The bad signals are, you know, it is the height of irony that Wall Street completely abandoned the president and favored Romney in the last election. The president did not get elected because Wall Street supported him. He got elected because the average Joe taxpayer decided that he would protect the economy better than Romney is. He owes nothing to Wall Street, and yet we turn around and it seems as if, despite the fact that they didn't support him, that that's too high on his agenda. And, you know, the only thing that can stop that is the American public being informed, telling the White House and telling their senators and members of Congress, hey, you know, we can't let Wall Street go unreined. And I'm telling you, we don't have time to talk about it, but in the last month, there have been several actions that have been taken by the Fed and other regulators that are giving Wall Street a break and ignoring the interests of protecting the American taxpayer from having to bail these big banks out again.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Michael Greenberger.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Michael Greenberger, who's the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Currently, he's the director of the Center for Health and Homeland Security at the University of Maryland, where he also teaches constitutional law and a seminar on futures options and derivatives at the University of Maryland School of Law. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with Ed Kleinbart, who has an op-ed in Thursday's New York Times, The Debt Ceiling's Escape Hatch.